Andy, how's it going this week?
It's going better than last week. I felt like last week was definitely a bit frazzled. Just a couple trips, feeling really behind, just felt like things were piling up. I managed to get through a lot of that and just get some good clarity on things. So I'm feeling in a much better mental space right now. So that's nice. And yeah, things are just coming together. We were making a lot of changes before on meeting rhythm and just what meetings we're having and just how we're structuring a lot around the company. And this was kind of the first week of testing it out, and it's gone really well. So yeah, I feel in a better spot and can see the light at the end of the tunnel. But outside of that, things are going well too. We'll check out a house in a little bit and see if 30% over asking is enough, but maybe not. Who knows?
It's insane, man, right? Like I hear whispers of like, oh, the housing market is slowing down, but yeah, not much maybe.
Yeah, hopefully those whispers start coming up here.
Yeah, yeah.
How are things on your end?
Good, man. Good. Yeah, similarly, I guess, like getting some more calmness. Some things that we've been kind of working on, different initiatives are kind of winding up in a good way. We are this close to releasing our mobile app, which is really cool. It's been a long time coming. So it's been an interesting experience. You know, we're working with like an outsource dev shop that does all they do is React Native. And that's been really great. But just learning a little bit about like coordinating that with our team and how all that works has been an experience. Overall good, but definitely some kind of learning opportunities there. But I wanted to ask you about what you mentioned with respect to like getting clarity and feeling more kind of at peace with things. And I ask just because like I think this is something I face and a lot of people probably do, is like when there's so much going on, I think it just is hard to be productive and effective. And so we all just like are like deer in headlights, you know? And so when you realize that that's kind of what's going on, like, are there certain things you do or schedule your day or prioritize things or what to really like pare down all this stuff that's going on so you can get back to like a good place?
Yeah. I mean, I definitely do what I can to block off mornings. The first call I have is at 11:30 my time. And I try not to, other than this podcast, I try not to have anything before that. And that typically gives me enough time to just do more of the deep work. And then I'll try to leave the admin and lower value stuff for the afternoon, because basically once lunch hits, then I've got a handful of calls, and that's when, not necessarily fires, but like that's when I start getting pinged about things. And that's when anything I planned usually goes to shit. And like I can sometimes block off a couple hours here or there in the end, near the end of the day, but I'm just honestly not that productive then. So I try to just protect that morning time, and that's been the big thing, but still doesn't always work, especially if I'm traveling. Because like what happened last week was my flight got back like late afternoon, and so there was still time for my calls, but I just like basically landed, didn't have much time to prep for them. So I'm jumping into these calls not like as prepared as I could be, and then the day's over, I'm trying to get caught up on a few things, but it's still like you go to sleep with everything a mess and wake up in the morning, and rather than getting like focus work done, you're just trying to get back ahead of it all.
Sure. Yeah.
And so that just took a while, because then the calls would come up again, and I just never quite felt like I got ahead until really this week. And so that's sort of what the schedule looks like for me. For us, our time zones, I'm on Eastern, US Eastern. Eduardo's 2 hours ahead in Brazil, but it only goes from Brazil to US Pacific. So that's like a 5 hour gap. And I feel like that's relatively tight for a remote team. I know for you guys, it's a bit wider. So how do you try to manage all that?
It's tough, man. I mean, I think that the right answer is we should be as asynchronous as possible. You know, and if you look at big companies that do remote well, they have to figure out how to do this, because eventually you're going to hire someone in Australia, in Vietnam, in Portland, Oregon, you know, and all of this to where there's literally people working all day and like having a meeting is just a mess. And so we're not there yet, but we have people from Ukraine to Vancouver. And so that's 10 hours and it's just hard. So then like we do, and we have those people on the same team. So we have our dev meeting at 3 o'clock here, which is 4 o'clock in Ukraine, which is 6 o'clock in Vancouver. And we just ask, you know, the developer there to, or it's actually our designer, to just get up early that day. Fortunately, he's up for it. Yeah, but I think that the answer long term is just to not have calls. And I think that, or not as many. And I think we're working on getting there. Yeah, but that's...
That was our approach originally. And even with the tighter time zones, I just think it, for us, it just didn't work. I know the remote push is towards async. And honestly, I think in a lot of cases, we just suck at this. Like that is a very real possibility. But I think for a lot of teams, it's misguided because I think at a bigger company where people are focused on, have a narrower focus, and you have more management so that they can, you have everything is, and I know you do a better job of this with like having the designs ready and having a real development process around that. But it's like, I think until your specs are crystal clear and you spend a real like significant amount of time on those specs with a designer and someone is owning product who can check in and make sure things are on track. Like I, and the person working on it is working on a narrow spot only. I just think async is very hard to make work and you can do it. And I think a lot of remote companies do that, but I think it's out of not laziness, but it's one of those things where it's just easier to go that direction. It's easier to push forward on your own priorities when you don't have to deal with all this other shit. And you can kind of abdicate that and just like, yeah, like things are moving forward. And if you're not as obsessed with growth, you can have good results with that. But I do think it slows you down. I think unless you have your process really buttoned down, or you have really senior people who know the space very well, I just don't see how async, purely async, can work. And that's what we've experienced. And I think for us, a lot of it is we don't have a very strong we don't have a CTO. And the Ben, who's our consultant on the back end, he gets the DFS space and has been like playing a bit as he's gotten into it. So he understands the domain a lot more. And John's been working with us for years now and gets it, but still it can help like with priorities, kind of directing him on that. But on the front end, Brian, not a huge sports guy, but like understands sports. Eduardo's in Brazil and so like loves soccer, but doesn't really follow American sports and not familiar at all with fantasy sports, let alone daily fantasy sports. And it there's just a lot that's lost in not literal translation, but just in the telephone game when you're passing messages along to people who don't deeply understand it. And I think that's probably a better way of phrasing it, is that if your team doesn't deeply understand the space or does not have like very tightly defined responsibilities and tightly written spec, I just think things can go off the rails. And we definitely were in that spot for a bit where we were making progress, but it was kind of when things would get released for me to check. It's like, oh, this wasn't not just quite what I was looking for, but it's like, oh, we forgot this and that, and then this doesn't work the way I expected. And it would take another week of cleaning it up or longer sometimes too. And that really hurt our development speed.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the speed is definitely the big one. And like, I think maybe that's just kind of naturally what happens with bigger companies, is they're able to focus on more individual things. They slow down overall, maybe they slow down, but like a tighter focused team can keep like product velocity. I agree. I mean, I think if we just said no more meetings, we're only going async, everything has to be a GitHub issue or a Notion. I mean, it would be bad. I do think it's a worthy goal, you know, because, you know, if you look forward 2 or 3 years, you're going to be 30 people or something, right? And like to get everybody on calls in a meaningful way there is really challenging. I think the other thing that might end up happening, and we might be close to this, is you start just having team meetings or like divisional meetings and not whole company meetings. You know, because even like us, our Monday meeting is 13 people now. You know, other than me talking about stuff that I think everybody else needs to hear, which is, you know, arrogant and selfish, like for everyone else to give their update and it just them to have enough time is you know, not always possible. So
that was the big change we made.
So you guys do just like leadership team meetings and then divisional meetings or like group meetings?
We don't even really, it's like, I guess the leadership team is Matt and I, but we just consider like a product meeting. And so before, what it would be is Matt and I would meet for usually like an hour, and then we would have a team meeting with everyone after that. When we were four or five people, it wasn't that big of a deal to have everyone give their updates. And it's not just about giving updates, because in my opinion, that part should, Notion, everything should be tracked in there. So you don't need to tell me what you're working on. I should be able to go into Notion and see what you're working on. I view it as more what, like, how are you planning to attack this and getting into the details a bit more, so that we can, by discussing it, see, is this the right approach? Are there other things to be considering? And just keep nudging things back on course. And as the team grew, those meetings just got longer and longer. And it was just hard to go that deep on it, because you could tell that, which is obvious for the vast majority of people on the call, I think it was kind of interesting to see what was happening, but the technical discussions or digging deep into a support issue, those things just weren't as relevant to the vast majority of people on the call. And so it was really a few weeks ago where I talked with Suchin Patel, who runs Mailshake and a handful of other companies, and just asked him at what point did he, like, how do they run their meetings? When did he make that switch? And he said, no, like, what they do now is what you said, is departments have their meetings, and then there's a weekly all hands, which is not for updates. That's for kind of big picture stuff from the CEO. Maybe there's announcements or changes or whatever. And then you can do sort of a show and tell, where if some team is shipping something or has been working on something and wants to share that with everyone else, talk about that. But it's a way for everyone to get FaceTime. It's a mandatory meeting. I just copied what Sujan did. We do ours on Thursdays because travel usually knocks out Fridays. And we try to have our like bigger syncs on Mondays. And so this just works out. But yeah, so that was the change we made. And now what we'll do is on Mondays, and this is still a work in progress. We've been doing this for like a week or two maybe. But I'm already feeling good about it. But yeah, so Monday is where we meet individually with the teams. And so we have, for us, it's product, front end, back end, marketing, and then support. And so it's like, it's a busy day, but it's honestly not that different than before, when I would have an hour call with Matt and then an hour and a half call with the entire team. And the goal there is to set the priorities in Notion for the week of, these are things we're going to try to tackle, so everyone's clear on the priorities. And then we do daily standups now with individual teams. I don't do a daily standup with Matt on product. I just think he and I have worked together for long enough and we're very clear on the same page. So like, that's a spot where we're okay to do the once a week. And same with support. We don't do a daily standup. They're not working on as many like bigger initiatives, but it's really for models, which I guess I didn't mention before, or maybe did, models, front end and back end, and marketing. And so this is still a work in progress. The goal is to get it to be like a brief meeting, but they've all gone longer, because in every single meeting, when we started digging into like how people were attacking things and the approaches, it was like, oh, we weren't clear enough upfront on what we meant. And then they uncovered some issues that none of us thought about. And so for all of these, it's been, I'd say this first, they haven't gone longer than half an hour, but for every single one of those, it's probably saved a week of effort already by just saving people from going down a rabbit hole that didn't matter, or from catching an issue before it got too big. And like, because that's the thing on development specifically is, our team, they're all smart people. And when they run into a problem, they're not just going to sit back and wait for someone to unblock it for them. They're going to make their best effort, guess at the best way around this, or try to figure out how important is this. But those things start compounding. And so the earlier we can catch and just get on the same page, so the fewer speed bumps there are, the faster everything goes. So that's where we're at now. And maybe we find out that after doing this for a while, after getting better at that once a week planning session. Maybe we don't need the daily check-ins, or they don't need to be as long, but we're going to do them for as long as they provide like obvious value.
I think one of the things as we're talking through this that I have always found not super productive and we're trying to get away from is providing updates in a live call, you know? And I think that's what you were saying is you try very much not to do that. And that's what our Monday meeting got to be at one point. And it was just like, I don't need to hear, you know, like it's just not helpful to anybody to hear what somebody did last week and what they're doing this week, as far as like the whole company. And so now we try to catch it as what are things that happened to you last week or that you're looking ahead to this week that you're thinking about and that you think everybody needs to be aware of. So like, hey, we're going to do this big push. We're going to release this new product. We've had a lot of support issues around this thing. I try to position it like that and I've gotten off track with this, to have it be aligned with like quarterly rocks, right? Like going back to EOS is like, these things should be things that we're all thinking about that are relative to like our quarterly goals. So that's how we do it. But especially in our development meeting, I think we do too much of last week I did this and I fixed this bug and I this controller. And like, that's all like, I know I'm not the best person to critique how those meetings go, but I think there could be if each person spent 5 minutes writing that in a Notion doc before the call, then everybody could just review it and then talk about it and not just have somebody recount their week to make them more productive to plan out things and talk about details of issues we're having.
Yeah, and we definitely fell off the wagon with Notion, as in the beginning, we were pretty good at it. And it was a good way of checking, okay, these are the priorities for the week. This is what they're working on. This is what's in QA. And I would keep track of my own Notion board, even though no one was really looking at it. But it was like, we all kept on top of that. And then as the team got bigger, it was just one of those things where it was just easier for me to say, all right, like, I'm just going to ask what you did. Like, I'm not going to stay on top of everyone to get on the Notion. I'm not going to go in and keep Notion up to date. And that was just the overwhelm phase of just trying to stay on top of everything. And just like, okay, like I can't, this is a piece where I'm just going to let it fall to the wayside. But now that we're back on track a bit more, that's where it's like in the all hands this week, I laid out more of what, like the vision for this, where it's, I want Notion to be an accurate look at what everyone's working on so that we don't need to do redundant updates, so that we don't have to do this, but somewhat there needs to be some place that I can go that everyone else can go to see what's in progress, what's coming up and all that. And right now Notion we're not using it for that, but we're working towards that. And I think, yeah, it just has to come from the top of just saying like, no, like this is what we're going to be doing. Like this is how we're tracking what we're doing. And I don't want it to be a burden. I don't want you to spend more time tracking things and doing things. So I don't want you to create like a card for every little thing that you're doing, but for bigger projects, like a chunk of work that's going to take a couple of days, that should be a standalone card in there. And I should know where it's at just by looking in Notion. And then when we do the daily standups, it can be more saying like, okay, on this, where we're using, I'll just use like an actual example, even if it doesn't make much sense to people, it's like, we're switching from hands-on table to AG Grid. In one of our modals, it didn't quite work out of the box with AG Grid. So Brian is changing the modal to upload projections and get that using AG Grid and have a few other features added to it. So like, I know that's what he's working on, but in the day of standup, I'd be like, okay, like today, like specifically what part are you stuck on? And he'll go over that. And it was one of the examples was when he was showing it to us, I was like, oh, this is like a nice looking table. We were expecting it to look more like Excel and have different functionality like that. It should have copy and paste. And that again is definitely a flaw on the lack of upfront spec. And so I think we want to fix that as well, but we're still trying to just check in on the details and just make sure that people aren't going too far off track.
How did you get connected with Sujan Patel?
So he lives in Austin. Lived in Austin for a year. I had interviewed him on my podcast, and then we would just when I moved out to Austin, just asked him for like places to visit, like different restaurants, that kind of thing. And then we just would meet up usually like once a month while I was out there. And we just stayed in touch since. So that's kind of, he actually helped advise on the acquisition of SaberSim, where that was a massive benefit. So it was Steve Tengaris, who I don't think many people are familiar with, but he's an angel investor in Florida. So when I was in Tampa, I was connected with him. Then Chris Lemma, who I'm guessing more listeners are familiar with, met up with him at, he spoke at one of Brennan Dunn's conferences, and I hung out with him for a bit there and just stayed in touch, and then connected with Sujin in Austin. And so those three really helped get us comfortable with buying a company for the first time without like a broker or anything. And so, yeah, those relationships have definitely been invaluable for sure.
Yeah, that's cool. I know him a little bit. They used to be a customer of ours at Podcast Motor. So yeah, very, very savvy marketer for sure. Very smart guy. Yeah.
Yeah. And they've grown very significantly at Mailshake. Mm-hmm. They're probably around 30-ish people now, if not more. And so, and he owns like several other companies as well. And so he, whenever I have questions on structure and organization, he's usually like one of the first that jumps in my mind, because I know he's many years ahead of me on that, has already figured out a lot of things that like I'm just starting to bump into.
Yeah. I think one of the other things about, you know, like team meetings or just like communication in general is, and this is not to disparage anybody, but I think there is just a time where people don't care or don't need to be involved in every meeting. Like one, it's kind of a waste of their time, you know, I think at a point. And then two, I think it is like burdensome to talk about, you know, branding and vision and stuff like that with, you know, say like a junior designer, right? Like I think burdened is like maybe a good thing. It's like, they don't care, you know, and that's not their, it's not their job to care, right? Their job is to create beautiful things and help the product team. And so I think we're just getting to the point where we're going to start navigating some of that, to have like, you know, maybe an all hands meeting 1 week and then just say like leadership team kind of meeting the next week. I don't know exactly the best way to balance that, but I do think that there are things that a handful of us really need to talk about on a consistent basis. And there's definitely a time where the whole company should be together. And so like trying to just think about that, and like, it's not a hair on fire kind of situation for us just because we're not that many people, but as we get more different kinds of people on the team, it's almost more obvious that like we need like a person from sales, a person from marketing, a person from success, a person from product, and the four or five of us just talk about things.
And that's, I think, a big part of EOS, right? Is those leadership meetings and the cadence around that. And then they go and meet with their teams. And right now, like, we don't have the leadership team. It's Matt and I. And I think I could see right now, he's not on the marketing call or the support call, but like, we're both on all of the models, front end and back end calls. And I could see, I'll probably always be on the model call because that's one where we're going to plan to do some content around. But the front end and back end, Matt and I are on the same page. So like, I don't think I need to be on that because he can accomplish the same thing and has a technical analysis. Whereas like, when they get into the code part of it, it's like, I can't add any value there.
Right.
I can just let you know if this is something how big of a priority this feature is to me, or this like one aspect of it, whereas he can actually dig into the code more. So I could see him running those meetings, me running support and marketing. And then I think if we ever got to the point where we had a true product owner, that I think there is value in having them on the tech calls. I think they need to be. And that's the thing is, we don't have that. And so Matt and I kind of, for different parts of it, share that role. And that's kind of the big thing there, is just figuring all of that out. But I hate the idea of like micromanaging, especially knowing myself as I really do want to be left alone. But when I look back on when I first started out working in like a company, I definitely wanted more guidance than I got. And
yes,
I think I would figure things out and create a good result. And the people I worked for were impressed with the result, but it was often, it took me way longer to get there because I had to navigate all these things. And sometimes the result was not what they were looking for. And we just found out too late. And I think I'm trying to find that middle ground of, I don't want to micromanage, but at the end of the day, I do want to move quickly. And I'd rather be a little micromanaging if that means we can move faster. Because right now, I just don't think we're equipped to create detailed enough specs to let us ease off on like the daily check-ins. I just don't think we have that talent right now.
Yeah, it's funny. We were talking with our kids about this recently, actually, of like being really honest is one of the kindest things you can do, you know, is what we were telling our kids. Because, you know, like, because if you, you know, gloss over things or are like, the glass is half empty, you know, kind of sunshine and rainbows all the time, then you're being dishonest with people. And then what happens, and I haven't actually gotten through the whole book yet, but oh my gracious, what's the name of the book? Radical Candor. But the book Radical Candor talks about this, right? That like being, you know, honest and upfront and sincere and personal and like deeply caring about somebody and showing them that you care by being honest and forthright with them is like one of the best ways to create connection and happens to be like a really good way to lead a team. And like, I have been really lucky that like before Jonathan, our lead developer, kind of just showed me this by that's how he was, you know? And so I picked up some of that. And now several people on our team come to me and say, hey, I need guidance around this. And that whenever, every time that happens, I kick myself as I say, they shouldn't have to do that. I should be intentional and organized as part of it enough to where that's always really clear, like what we should be doing and why, and like what the goal is and all of this stuff. And so, yeah, it's just, it's a little uncomfortable sometimes. It shouldn't be, but it kind of is, especially when you don't have great things to say to somebody that you really care about. But I think that not saying it is much worse from a personal perspective, because then like what happens is like 6 months down the road, you fire that person and they say, I never knew that something was going on. And that's like the example in the book is like, you know, she fires someone and the guy's like, you never told me that anything was wrong. And like, I very much hope that never happens. Yeah. On this point, something that we just started last week is our own podcast, like our own internal podcast. I mean, we should, you know, we're selling it, right? And we're selling this idea. And it's been really cool. So I've done like a few episodes so far, but a lot of it is really like high level messaging stuff, you know? So like brand and kind of ethos and how we work and why we work and then like product updates, right? So like our mobile app that's coming out. I recorded one today that'll go on a Monday, just talking about like, okay, this is what's gonna happen, this is where we are, this is what we think. So that like we just don't have to have all of these updates because like it's not a discussion really, right? It's like the mobile app is going out in 10 days and we all need to be on board. You know, this is, you know, kind of a precursor to maybe our Monday meeting. So then the Monday meeting is more effective because people have heard the update and know what's going on. So yeah, I mean, I think that, yeah, talking about someone like Sujan Patel in a 30 or 100, 300 person company, like all of this, I think at a point, you know, and that's the whole point of this show, right? Like at a point, all it is the right people working the right way. I don't think either of us are too far from that. Like I know if we hire a couple salespeople and get a really great product leader, the rest of it will take care of itself, you know? And so that kind of makes my job easier. It's not more straightforward. It's really hard to find those people, but if we do that, like I think the rest of it will take care of itself.
Yeah, then that's how I'm feeling now too, where this is really, when I look around, I do feel like we have a full team and the team is, we have the right people in the right seats and it's my job to enable everyone to do their best work. And I'm definitely going to make mistakes along the way and I've made more than my fair share, but it's just trying to keep moving towards that and building systems while being burdensome and with always keeping the intention in mind of like, why are we putting these systems in place? And for us, I don't think we aspire to be fully async, but I do know that we can find a better balance than we've got now, and it's just going to be iterative. And thankfully, the team's on board, and we're already seeing progress. So we'll see how it goes. And I'm definitely excited to catch up and see how your journey goes, because I know you've got a bit more hiring coming up. So we'll have a lot to talk about in the coming weeks.